broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Cosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. My name is Sam Bushman, Kirk Cosby, my co-host. This is the broadcast for October 22nd in the year of our Lord, 2015. This is hour two of two, and the goal always, to promote God, family, and country, and to protect life, liberty, and property. We're getting it done one issue, one heart, one mind at a time. We use the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, as our guide. The checks and balances by our founders, brilliant. We want a restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. That's what I want, is a restoration. There are people who don't. They kind of think all government's bad, and, you know, it's hard to argue with their point. It really is. And we had on our guest, Mr. Mark Stevens, last hour. And markstevens.net is his website. And Mark says, I'm an anarchist, a radio talk show host, and I want to educate people to defend themselves against bureaucratic attacks. I teach how to limit the damage that the government inflicts, how much the government predators are seeking to do to you. I limit that. The No State Project is about bringing about a volunteer society. Now think about that. That's the anarchist idea. A volunteer society through education and activism. We don't need government. We can have private groups, private co-ops, people, if you will, getting together and, you know what, taking care of what needs to be done as a group. We don't need some government, some king, some thug to get that done. It's an educational opportunity seminar we talked about last hour. Mark Stevens is coming to Salt Lake City to learn how to defend against legal attacks. It's a seminar going on the 24th. That's this Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Location is at the Quality Inn and Suites in Murray, Utah. Cost $75 per person for the full day. Register at wademelanie.com. Have you ever had a traffic ticket or got an IRS audit that you were frustrated with and you fell helpless, huh? All right. This seminar is for you. If you're interested in freedom, this seminar is for you. Court is intentionally set up to be incredibly intimidating. Learn the Socratic method of questioning. This is highly educational and a valuable skill to have. You want to learn how to do some role plays, some mock trials? This is a hands-on class where you'll learn how to write and file motions. You'll learn how to, you'll practice and learn how to effectively cross-examine witnesses. You'll learn to read with detailed comprehension and value the real definitions of words. You'll discuss the nature of governments, tyrants, and their manipulative procedures. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. Anyway, that if you want to go to wademelanie.com, you can learn more about it, and you can sign up and, anyway, check out that class. Do you know who Mark Stevens is, Becky?
That's a new name to me, but it sounds like I should make his acquaintance.
Yeah, markstevens.net is his website. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, Becky Akers riding shotgun, second hour of the broadcast today. Becky Akers is a well-known anarchist, a well-known writer against the TSA and their hostile abuses of the American people. And Becky is an anarchist as well. Anarchy doesn't mean we want government and life destroyed. They don't want craziness. What they stand for, though, is just saying we don't need government to do that job. The people can make contracts and work together under their own free will and choice just fine, thank you very much, is the idea. She's also a well-known author. She's got novels, Abducting Arnold and Hailstorm. Hailstorm's about Nathan Hale. Abducting Arnold is the true story of Benedict Arnold with some facts and details you may not have heard. Get the revolutionary new novels before they're banned today. Just type in Becky Akers, Hailstorm, or Abducting Arnold. You'll find them right away. All right, Kurt, Walmart's in the news, huh? I want Becky to respond to this. This is kind of fascinating.
Yeah, well, let's see, Sam. Walmart, you know, they're typically in the news, but in this case, you know, you've got a little bit of an interesting made in the USA. Remember, they kind of came out with this, I think when they first started, they were all going to, you know, make everything in America and promote that and all that stuff. Only problem is, well, they've not been real upfront with it.
Yeah, it's like they're not honest, Kurt.
Yeah, that's right. I guess the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, has said that they're not going to pursue any action against Walmart because the retailer had taken these, what they call, voluntary steps. Now, you typically don't take voluntary steps when the government's after you, if you ask me. But anyway, these voluntary steps included removing Made in USA logos from product listings and removing some U.S. country of origin claims that appeared in product descriptions or titles. But the bottom line is they realize people want Made in America things.
Yes, they do, 80-plus percent.
And that's right. And, you know, so they were kind of using it to help sell things. But bottom line is they were kind of fudging it a little bit. But wouldn't it be nice if we really went back to having a lot more Made in America things?
Amen to that. This kind of reminds you of the voluntary tax system, Kurt. You swear under penalty of perjury that you're volunteering.
Great point.
And then it's kind of like the voluntary TSA, huh, Becky?
Yeah, TSA doesn't like voluntary stuff at all because it knows it would be out of existence the last hour. In fact, not even tomorrow, but an hour ago it would have been out of existence if it, you know, if we had to depend on people to volunteer to be sexually assaulted before they got on an airplane.
Now, what I find fascinating is it says this. The retailer avoids government action by changing its Made in the USA labeling. That was voluntary. I don't really get that. You avoid government action by your volunteerism, Becky? Isn't that at the heart of the whole point about belligerent government?
Oh, absolutely. And any time government... But you know what, Sam? Let me back up just a moment and say that government must lie all the time. It relabels everything it does. For instance, it murders people but calls it war. Because if politicians were honest and said to Mr. and Mrs. USA out there, look, we want to take your child and we want to kidnap him. We want to put him through hell and back again. Then we're going to send him to countries where he doesn't know anyone and doesn't speak the language so that he can't decide for himself whether or not these people are worthy of death, and we're going to give him a gun and we're going to tell him to shoot and murder all the people over there. Okay, you can't say that. You wouldn't have any volunteers for your wars of empire. So government relabels murder and calls it war. Government relabels taxation or relabels theft and calls it taxation. So when it tells you about the, quote, voluntary actions someone took, once again, it is spinning what it says. It is lying. It is using propaganda to cloak its reality and its nature so that we serfs don't have a clue, hopefully, and we serfs will agree that some people are born to lord it over us. Some people are born to take the sweat from our brows. Some people are born to tell us how to live our lives. We won't quarrel with that if government can just package what it does nicely enough that we no longer resist.
And or, when we say no longer resist, and or capitulate because we are too in fear. When the government's in fear of the people, we have liberty. When the people are in fear of the government, we have tyranny. Now, I know that's a cliche that we've used a lot, or a phrase we've used a lot of times or whatever, but the reality is true. The people are many times capitulate out of fear, right?
Oh, yes. Many people capitulate out of fear. But I'll tell you, Sam, it seems to me, now again, I'm on the East Coast, so I'm in a different milieu than you are out in the West, but it seems to me from what I encounter here in New York City, that the government doesn't need to resort to fear. It has plenty of welcome and acceptance and absolute adoration from its subjects, okay? You know, America now is very much a progressive country. Our culture is progressive. You know, our government is very much progressive with a reliance on socialism and fascism and marriage between government and private, quote, private companies that work to further the government's agenda. You know, TSA, for instance, relies heavily on private companies to supply it and to give it, cooperation. There's huge fascism everywhere. Our economy and our culture are fascist now. We are progressive. We think that government can bring about utopia on Earth if we just give it enough power and enough money. and people are happy to have their private lives completely open to the government, completely open to bureaucrats. Bureaucrats can come into your place of business and inspect it. Bureaucrats can issue fines. Bureaucrats can imprison you. Bureaucrats can tell you how to rear your children. Bureaucrats educate your children, quote, educate. So we're very much a progressive culture and a progressive government and economy. Progressive, one of their articles of faith is that government is positively beneficial, okay? And in fact, Sam, it's fascinating. If you look back at...
Hold on, we're going to look back in just seconds. Becky Akers with us, ladies and gentlemen, well-known author, writing articles about the TSA, author of novels as well. Riding Shotgun, Liberty Roundtable Live in seconds.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, and this half hour is brought to you in part by thepowermall.com. And you want incredible deals, go to thepowermall.com or to place an order, 877-817-9829, 877-817-9829. The Power Mall, you can get monthly copies of the Power Hour radio talk show on CD. They got all kinds of specials on fresh water cod liver oil, new tea tree oil, shampoo and conditioner. I use their toothpaste, by the way. It's incredible. They got new products from North American Spice. They got Suprema C Strawberry, 24-ounce powder on special. The Hidden Faith of the Founding Fathers by Chris Pinto available. You got DVDs. You got health products. I use the red and green stuff from Gary Null Products. They're fantastic. All right. You got the Daily Fiber Blend on special. Cayenne pepper. I'm just telling you, you got 10% off all Numana storable foods. Just fantastic stuff. ThePowerMalt.com. Tell them Sam and Kurt sent you and thank them for their support. All right. Becky Akers, our guest. She's an author. Incredible stuff, folks. Her books, her new novels are available now. Abducting Arnold, a real story about Benedict Arnold. Who was he? Do you know the facts from history, huh? All right, this book will challenge you. How about the book is called Hailstorm, also about Nathan Hale, one of the, in my opinion, most honorable founders, if you will, of that period. Just incredible stuff. Hailstorm, one book, Abducting Arnold, the other, available now. Buy them before they're banned. Go on Google or your favorite search engine, type in Becky Akers and Hailstorm or Abducting Arnold. You'll get them immediately. So, Becky, you were saying if we take a look back.
Yes, if we go back to the height of the progressive era, the turn of the 20th century, those first few decades when progressives were putting through and establishing the bureaucratic regime that persecutes all of us now, that was one of their founding principles and one of their deepest, most deeply held dogmas, government is good. And it's fascinating, Sam, when you talk about, you know, government, whenever anyone is in government's crosshairs, their actions are not voluntary. No matter what their tormentors at the state level say, you are doing whatever you're doing because otherwise the government is going to cost you lots of money or it's going to imprison you. Well, the progressives dealt with that in the bureaucratic regime. To this day, courts across the country recognize and uphold the fact that when a bureaucracy is dealing with you, is persecuting you, is prosecuting you, is inspecting your business and then fining you, those are all administrative searches that the bureaucracy conducts. For instance, when you go to an airport, Sam, and the TSA gropes you, because it is a bureaucracy and because government is good, that is termed an administrative search. Now, Sam, if they were to find a container of, say, methamphetamine in your pocket, you will go to jail just as surely as you would if a cop searched your car, okay? But because it's a bureaucracy, you see, that has your best interests at heart, and it's trying to protect you from those nasty terrorists. And TSA can't help that it found an envelope of methamphetamine on your person. And so even though you're going to be in jail and handcuffed and all of your assets seized and everything else, just as surely as if a cop had found this, because it was a genial TSA guy sexually assaulting you who found it, that's an administrative search. And you really have no recourse, you see, because government is good and it has your best interests. That philosophy underlies every bureaucracy out there, okay? And courts always revert to that reasoning. So therefore, when we mere serfs and peons bring actions against bureaucracies, that's why we don't prevail, you see, because we think I've been arrested, my constitutional rights have been violated. And the progressive courts say, oh, no, they haven't. You see, government's watching out for you. Government's being good to you and beneficial. Government is saving you from yourself. And therefore, even though the result is completely identical to the punitive actions cops undertake, since it's a bureaucracy, you see, you've been helped.
In other words, governments always assert that by this nature that they're good, that they're always right and everything they do is good. And that's where the argument falls apart. From an anarchist point of view, Becky, do you believe there's any government that can be good of any kind at all?
Certainly, Sam. There are private governments, and all of us deal with them all the time, but we don't call them private governments, and so we don't recognize what's going on. For instance, my father maintains a private government in his home. Okay, while I was growing up, he was my governor. He was my authority. And in fact, Sam, a lot of Christians get off.
What do they call that, a theocracy?
He had no bureaucracy whatsoever, let me tell you.
No, I'm saying a theocracy.
Sure. I'm sorry?
A theocracy.
Yes, Yes, I suppose it would have been something of a theocracy since he was governing our home under the Lord God.
Yes.
But a lot of Christians who will cite Romans 13 as the reason that we owe allegiance and loyalty to the political government don't understand this point. The word, the Greek word for political government, never once appears in Romans 13, which talks about how we're to give loyalty and we're to obedience to government. Okay, the words that are used in that chapter refer to things like the father of a family or, for instance, a private tutor. Remember in the Judeo world at that time, the Judeo-Roman world that Paul was familiar with and that his Roman audience would have been familiar with, families hired private tutors. This was not a state function, okay? So a private tutor, a teacher for your children, if you've hired them, then those children owe allegiance and obedience to that governor, okay? But it has nothing to do with political government. All of us maintain private governments, for instance, in our homes and our cars. If I come to visit you, Sam, in your private government of a home, I don't have any right to go against your wishes in your home, okay? You may say to me, we don't wear shoes in our house. Now, I may say, well, I have ugly feet and I don't want to show them. I want to keep my shoes on. And you then say, then don't come into my home. You have every right to do this. If I don't want to obey you, I do not enter your home, okay? Political government is a totally different matter. Political government does not rely on voluntary obedience. Political government relies on force, okay? All of us are scared of the force, and it's a virtually limitless force that the state can bring against us, and we should be. But the state has no moral or biblical authority to do this.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. I wanted Becky to expound on that because I believe it really lays out the difference between what most people believe an anarchist to be, which means they just believe it's like, hey, crazy chaos, no government, there's no rules. You know, it's just like survival of the fittest, sit on your porch with your shotgun on your lap, and hey, man, I'm going to kill or be killed right now. Okay, that's what they think it is, and it's not that at all. There are private sector solutions everywhere. We use them all the time. We just can't quite imagine a society that was that way through and through, is what a real anarchist would advocate for and stand for. I have slight differences in my beliefs. Bastiat's The Law is what kind of provides a lot of guidance in my mind for this. There is a balance of defensive government that would have a goal to repel greater forces that would upset the balance of liberty and cooperation, etc. However, your point's well taken, Becky, in that, hey, you know what? 90%+ of what we think government is and does and etc. could go away and be in the private sector, and we have example after example after example that it would be much more effective, and most importantly, it would protect life, liberty, and property for a change, huh?
Well, Sam, you know, we have a wonderful example in restaurants, okay? There are no laws, at least that I'm aware of. I don't think there are even...
Oh, there's laws. You just don't know, Becky. Trust you me, there's laws on everything, buddy. And if there's not, don't give them any suggestion because there soon will be. And see, that's the problem. That's the nature of government that we deal with. Becky Akers, ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, she's going to pick up on the restaurant theme, real live example in seconds. Becky Akers on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
This is Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and I want to introduce you to Numana Storable Foods. This is the first brand of storable foods that I am willing to put my name behind. It's food you can trust. No GMOs, no MSG, no chemical preservatives, and no fake meat. Plus, Numana doesn't just make that claim. They back it up with independent evaluation and testing. Another thing that Numana really does that excites me is the delicious vegetarian options. If your standards are as high as mine, I can confidently tell you that Numana Storable Foods are the quality choice that you've been waiting for. Numana won't just meet your expectations, they will exceed them. And that's why we're thrilled to have the good guys from Numana joining the Power Hour family. Go to powerprepper.com and learn about Numana Storable Foods. You can also call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Numana, the storable food you'll love to eat.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1200mm coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
We're talking about Numana long-term storable foods, 10% off at thepowermall.com. Fund your family's preparedness plan, get long-term storable food, and support hard-hitting talk radio at the same time. Numana Whole Foods, 10% off, thepowermall.com. Tell them Sam and Kurt sent you. Becky Akers riding shotgun on the broadcast today. Well-known anarchist writes articles regarding the abuses of the TSA. She's also an incredible author with novels. Hailstorm is one of them. Abducting Arnold is the other. Buy them before they're banned today. All right, we're talking about the reality of private government. Is it doable? See, anarchy is not just confusion and crazy meltdown like you think. They just believe that we can do it private government style, not forced government style. Becky, you were using an example that we see this in practice every day when you go to the restaurant for starters.
We just don't call it government. But for instance, Sam, I don't think there's any law that says when my husband and I go into a restaurant, we can't throw food at each other. But we don't. Okay, we don't descend into anarchy, quote, the way it's always, the word is always used to, as a synonym of chaos and disorder. We don't descend into chaos and disorder when we go into a restaurant, even though no law compels us not to. Okay? There's no law that says...
However, let me make something very clear, too, to make the point. It's a private restaurant. The owner may kick you out and say, look, if you're going to throw food at each other, you're out of my private property. And he has every right to do so, and we don't need a bureaucrat involved at all.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There is no law that says when we go into this restaurant, we can't bring our own food and eat it at the table, but we don't. Okay. And again, the owner of the restaurant would kick us out if we were just coming in every night and using his table to eat our own food. Okay. There are myriad examples we can all take from private life. You know, when you go into a private swimming pool, you don't bring your dog in and throw him in the pool as you might at home because you realize this is a private pool. There may not, there probably is, but let's say for sake of argument, there is no regulation at the state level that says you can't bring your dog swimming. But many people recognize, most people, in fact, all people, I've never been in a situation where someone has thrown their dog into a public swimming pool because we all recognize there are rules.
Well, and a proof and point, when you go to a lot of gas stations or stores or whatever, whatever it says, no shoes, no shirt, no service. What's that? That's a private stated, this is the way it is in my business, my world, my realm, my jurisdiction, right?
Let's say for sake of argument that they aren't being prompted by health codes, because I think, in fact, most of them are. You know, that if the somebody were to walk barefoot into a Walmart, you know, that Walmart will be fined for that. So, but let's pretend that doesn't exist. These are private rules and private laws that people put forward within their own spheres of influence, and we all go by them. You know, something else that really interests me, Sam, is the dystopian novels out there that depend on a collapse of the system. And almost without fail, these novels picture incredible disorder. They picture people attacking one another. The government has fallen, and so what happens? We're all at each other's throats. We're all fighting over a little bit of food. None of them, at least that I have seen or read, none of them ever posit the opposite scenario, which is, in fact, likelier. And that
sounds to me like there's a book in the making, Becky.
No, I'm not.
Come on now. Everybody else wants to write a book. What if the EMP hits, the world melts down? What would happen? And it's like anarchy and everybody turning into cannibals and it's all crazy. And what if you write an opposite book?
Well, look at what happens in most natural disasters. What do we see?
What if you call it an anarchist dream?
And we see people helping each other. We see people risking their lives to save other people, okay? We don't need government to do that. And in the absence of government, when the system does melt down, because the United States is on a trajectory such that it cannot continue, it is on the same trajectory as Nazi Germany in the 1930s and 40s, okay? We are eventually going to melt down, whether it comes from an invasion from without or whether there are convulsions within the United States government cannot last. So when,
or all the above simultaneously.
Whatever. When it disappears, we're not going to see people at each other's throat. It's going to be a wonderful time. We're going to have the boot taken off our necks, and we will be able to voluntarily help one another. And we will be able to come together to form the kinds of associations we want to, rather than those that are dictated by a bunch of bureaucrats and politicians in our state capitals or in D.C. So, you know, it's fascinating to me how many people just assume that in the absence of government, human nature suddenly runs amok and becomes murderous and raping and rampaging. No, no, no. You need government for that. You know, Sam, another misuse of the word anarchy is when you'll have rival government factions in some third world country battling each other. And the media always describes that as anarchy. And the more private citizens that get caught in the crossfire, the more often you'll see the word anarchy in the description. That is not anarchy. That is too much government. You've got rival political parties battling one another. We have the same thing here. It's just they haven't yet taken to weapons, but they may. That was how Hitler came to power, in fact. His followers were armed, and they battled it out on the streets, okay? And actually beat people up on the streets who objected to Nazism. We may see the same thing here. But the point is, that's too much government. That isn't an absence of government that anarchy requires.
All right, there you have it. I want to use an example to kind of drive home this point in a current story that I have before us. Headline says flu shot remains the most dangerous vaccine based on injuries and death compensated by government. Health Impact News brings us the piece. And they basically say that the Justice Department issues a report on vaccine injuries and death every quarter. They submit it to the Advisory Commission on Childhood Vaccines. And believe it or not, there are 200 cases, actually 211 to be exact. There are 211 cases for vaccine injuries and death for the periods of 5/16, 2015 through 8/15, 2015. So a 3-month period, you got 211 cases of injury and death. And 86% of the settlements were listed in this report, giving the name of the vaccines, the injury, and the time it took to actually get a settlement on this. And believe it or not, these quarterly reports on vaccine injury and death compensated by the government In other words, settlements from the U.S. vaccine courts are rarely discussed in the mainstream press. But this is the interesting thing. The flu shot remains the most dangerous shot. Government, backed by licensed, quote, professionals by the government, are the ones who really push this on us. And they're looking at eventually forcing us to take the jab. Becky?
Well, you know, I recently heard somebody speaking, and his point was that, you know, he wouldn't have any problem with government. He doesn't like all the regulation. He doesn't like things like mandatory flu shots. But he wouldn't have any problem with government just advising people, okay? Experts telling us that we need the flu shot. You know, government experts telling us that we need the flu shot. This man clearly misunderstood grotesquely what government is, okay? Anytime you have a group of people who are paid through taxpayers, when you have one set of people hiring another set of people and paying them with our money, you automatically have politics entering the equation. It just, you cannot prevent it any more than you can prevent your clothing that gets thrown into a river from getting wet, okay? That is how government is. It is always political. So when you have a bunch of government experts, quote, telling you that you need to have a vaccine and then requiring it at some point in the future, what you have are people who are calculating very carefully how much money they are going to get or their agency is going to get from the vaccine makers, from the fines they can impose on people who refuse to abide by their new regulation, how much political kickback they're going to get, how much donor money they're going to get, okay? But anytime you have a situation like this where the government is either recommending something, and recommending is always just one step away from making it mandatory, you have a political calculation, and you have the most powerful people prevailing and forcing their will on the rest of us, okay? So, Sam, I'm not one bit surprised that the government itself releases these statistics. They do a similar thing, interestingly enough, with the war on terror, okay? Not very many people realize this, but the State Department, every single year, publishes a compilation of how many terrorists they estimate to be worldwide, okay? And they list them by their name, by the name of the terrorist group. So, you know, you might have the Abu Sayyaf group, okay? And then there will be an estimate of how many members it has. And they'll tell you actually even where these groups are prevalent and active and what kind of casualties they're bringing. The fascinating thing, Sam, is there are virtually none on this list that target America.
Liberty Roundtable Live, ladies and gentlemen, in seconds.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer-rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next-generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211 and take your free vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free vigor score test today.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Our fellow freedom fighter in the sacred cause of restoration of liberty on the radio with us, ladies and gentlemen, Becky Akers, well-known author, writes articles documenting the abuses of the TSA, also author of two well-known, incredible novels. Buy them before they're banned today. What are the novels? Revolutionary new novels, Hailstorm, about Nathan Hale, Abducting Arnold, about Benedict Arnold. You might want to read the books and learn about history from a fresh, reality-based point of view. Can you define anarchy, folks? That's what we're talking about today. How about private government? Have you ever thought of that? What about the reality of private government, huh? All right, we talked about the flu shot being the most dangerous, and it's all sponsored by and funded by government. We've talked about these lists that the government creates defining exactly where you are, etc. It's crazy. All sponsored by government. How do we rein in out-of-control government? The anarchists would say, get rid of it and go private. The constitutionalists would say, hey, restore the Constitution. The fact is, though, government is running amok and out of control. That's for sure. And here's the interesting thing. They want to take the things that Becky, myself, Kurt, and others are saying on the radio, and they want to make us liable for those. They want to make, if somebody gets sideways with the government, and they're like, hey, these anti-government talk show hosts are the ones causing it, cause and effect, and they go down the road there. Well, Kurt brought up this film, Absence of Malice, a 1981 drama film, Kurt.
Yeah, I don't know, Becky, if you've ever seen it.
Have you seen that,
Paul
Becky?
Newman, Sally
no.
Field.
I'm sorry.
Anyway, it's a little while back. I found the movie a while back and watched it again, or maybe it was for the first time. I couldn't remember. But the bottom line was a newspaper in this case, used its power to do some things to individuals that weren't really fair, and we've seen this so many times. For example, if the newspaper's headline says something wrong and then later they retract it, they'll put the retraction like on the back page.
99B.
Classifieds or whatever. And, so that's typically the way it works. And as Sam always teaches folks, he who owns the media makes the rules. And in this case, that's a story about that happening. Pretty interesting, and I recommend it.
They use this in journalism classes, this film, to kind of educate people about, how much do you have to disclose versus what's the public right to know? When do you have to what, and who should say what and by who? And it's kind of an interesting expose on that breakdown. In other words, you got to disclose damaging information. What about the public's right to know? Where does one stop? Where does the other begin? And the title refers to the legal definition of one of the requirements against proof, against libel defamation. The reason we bring this up, Becky, is they're starting to go after authors and writers and columnists and journalists and talk show hosts over these very issues. So your comments on the TSA, they're going to come back and say, you know what, Becky, the public has a right to know. And you would say, that's right, that's why I write them. And they would say, no. The public has a right to know according to government guidelines. Because remember, government's good and here to help you. And you're out of bounds, Becky. And they're going to use that to start prosecuting, I should say persecuting, and then prosecuting all of us. Your response?
Well, that's just typical government behavior. My bafflement comes in that ordinary people, not government-affiliated people, not, quote, experts, not politicians and bureaucrats, but we victims of the politicians and bureaucrats. My bafflement comes in because we don't see through this kind of absolutely blatant and transparent propaganda. You know, Sam, I had an interesting experience a couple days ago. My husband and I were away on a weekend trip, and the hotel where we stayed was very shabby. We knew that ahead of time. We've stayed there before, and we choose it specifically because it is dirt cheap. It's a community that's on the ocean. If you're going to stay right on the beach, you're going to pay $300 a night. We go to this hotel primarily because it's about 5 minutes from the beach, and we save a couple hundred dollars a night. But I was fascinated when the manager asked us to get on their website and review them. I didn't get on the website. I looked at the other reviews. Universal disdain and panning of this hotel. People who are staying in it, even though it is so dirt cheap, they expect much more for their money. They want luxurious surroundings for their money. Okay? We understand. We're going there. We're staying there because we're saving all kinds of money. I'm fascinated at the double standard, Sam. I don't hear any of these people who are out for blood of this private entrepreneur who's offering shabby accommodations but at a very reasonable price. I don't hear any of these people going after the bureaucrats who, quote, educate their kids so they can't speak and can't read and can't think. Okay? They pay thousands of dollars in property taxes to make sure their kids can graduate reading, and they can't. I don't see negative reviews from these same people that expect a private entrepreneur to lavish attention on them. I don't see that directed to bureaucrats. I don't see these people protesting that when the government robs them to support the TSA's goons at the airports, that those goons can't even get them through to their flights in a reasonable amount of time. Okay, they may grumble about it, but you don't see them taking to the streets to protest this.
Well, you're right about that. The same thing's true with anything good, moral, and honest in society. I'll take Liberty Roundtable Live, for example. You know, we promote the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Organization quite a bit because we believe that training of police officers to understand their real role of a peace officer, upholding their oath, etc., is vitally important. However, I bring this up because I've had people email me just recently and say, hey, I don't think I'm going to support this group because there's a sheriff in here that's one of your prize sheriffs or one of your champion sheriffs, and by golly, he's not doing what he's supposed to with asset forfeiture. And then somebody else says, Sam, I appreciate what you're doing, but you guys don't really understand. You got to talk to Edwin Vieira and understand the real issues about the Constitution. You're not really on. So I appreciate all you're doing, but everything you're doing is kind of worthless, guys. And then another guy says, man, if you were really to fight for freedom my way, Sam, it'd be better. And even when you try to stand up for liberty and give everybody a forum to do so, and even though you don't even reject ideas that are good that you may or may not completely agree with, it seems like the patriots and anything good, it almost as if they look for an excuse never to support anything right or good or honorable or true. And this hotel entrepreneur is a great example. They're saying, hey, we don't have the most fancy accommodations, but we're gonna, you know, give you a very inexpensive option. The same thing exists in Vegas. There's a Super 8 hotel right on the strip in Vegas that's very cheap. It's a block off the strip, but you can walk through an alley and get right there or walk through between a couple of hotels. Another great example, people don't realize the blessing that really is. And so I kind of find that oftentimes we have gotten so spoiled, so soft, so bratty that we expect everything to be government and everything to be done for us. If everything's not right, hey, you can't support anything or anybody, right?
And there is such a double standard. You know, we have a totalitarian government that can't even run Amtrak on time, okay? And can't run the trains on time, can't deliver the mail on time, can't get you to your airport without a sexual molestation and in a timely manner, okay? And yet these people don't have any problem with any of this. Everyone just seems resigned to this is how government is. Nobody goes that further step and says, I wouldn't tolerate this from a private company. Do we really need government handling this? Should we get rid of government in this area? You know, people don't seem to realize that bureaucrats and politicians, just like the rest of us, function solely out of self-interest.
Okay? I'm almost 50 years old, and for 40 out of those 50 years, we never had a TSA, right?
Never had a TSA, and we didn't have flights go crashing. You know, I'm so fascinated, Sam, by the fact that people don't pay attention to the originating event, 9/11, okay? There is no way that 9/11 happened from, quote, 19 terrorists, okay? All you have to do is look at the way that the World Trade Center buildings fell. It is clear that was controlled demolition.
Well, even Donald Trump now says they knew ahead of time.
And you don't have to take my word for it. There are scientists, architects, engineers who have a website, and they will present the proof that this was not a terrorist thing. This was a controlled demolition, and the United States government not only knew about it, but was likely behind it. Now, I'm adding that. The architects and engineers don't go that far. But still.
But they do document involvement to some degree.
And the more you read about this, the less you will accept the official version. Okay, why then do we have a TSA? When the federal government is the one that brought down the towers, when the federal government slaughtered 3,000 people, why do we accept they're molesting our children in airports because they're going to protect us from non-existent terrorists? This is insanity, and this is so typical of our progressive culture. It is something that never for one moment could have been perpetrated by George III on the colonists. Can you imagine, Sam, an officer of the crown walking up to Martha Washington, ma'am, I'm going to have to pat you down here. I'm going to use the backs of my hands between your legs. I'm going to use the backs of my hands on your chest. Can you imagine George Washington's reaction? Can you imagine the horsewhipping a man would receive for daring to accost his wife? And we have Americans then standing by and watching this, watching their children and their wives be sexually assaulted by government officers. What is going on with us? God have mercy on us.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have gone far afield from the founder's intent. There's no doubt about it. We do need to follow the Prince of Peace and restore the proper role of limited government and move things, as many things, and this is where the anarchists and the constitutionalists would agree. We need to move as many things to the private sector as we possibly can. Let's start there. We got a row to hoe, that's to say the least. Becky Akers' well-written novels are available. All right? Get them today. Look up Becky Akers. You'll find them on the net. Thanks for being alongside. Becky, thank you.
Thank you, Sam. It's always an honor and a privilege.